In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Probably most of you have heard the expression, there's more to life than blank. Right? Fill in the blank. There's more to life than work. There's more to life than sex. There's more to life than food. And do I dare say these words in South Jersey? There's more to life than football. Now, what I notice about this phrase is that it rarely gets filled in with what that more to life is. Right? What is more? What is that more to life? Is usually left as an exercise for the hearer. And maybe that's because there's more to life than any brief explanation can cover. There are lots of things that different ones of us could suggest as part of that more to life. But I think that Jesus found a pretty good way to sum it up. Jesus called the more to life the kingdom of God. So why is there a tradition of fasting or giving something up for Lent? Maybe it's because sometimes we need a reminder that there's more to life than meat on Fridays, or there's more to life than caffeine, or there's more to life than eating out. And sometimes going without certain pleasures can help us to remember the deeper goods that we enjoy, the more to life that we still have, despite our little fasts. Lenten observances are designed to pry our attention away from our smartphones and our busy schedules, and to create some space in which we might gaze upon God. If you are looking for something more to life, then I would suggest that what you are looking for is the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible talks a lot about the kingdom of God, doesn't it? The kingdom of God is that reality that is more true than the one that you might habitually look at. The kingdom of God is the more to life. The first parish I ever served was a small church in a tiny, isolated town called De Leon, Texas. And for young people growing up in De Leon, who maybe didn't travel much, many of them didn't have dreams that extended any further than a few classes at the community college two towns over, and a full-size pickup truck, and maybe a job at the local bottling factory. For many young people there, that's all they'd ever seen, all they'd known. And so that was the shape of their lives. Here in Glassboro, we know about Philadelphia, right? We know about New York City. We know about Washington, D.C. And for those who live in New York, they know about Hong Kong and Paris and Santo Domingo and Bogota. And so each of us shapes our lives according to what we know, right? The outlook that we have, the range of experience that we've enjoyed. And there's so much more to life than you might have guessed if all you've ever seen is a small town in central Texas. That's how it is with us as Christians, right? People who have known the kingdom of God, even just a glimpse of it. Just like everyone else, we still struggle with the same issues around finances and health and relationships. Just like everyone else, we still mourn and cry at the death of someone we love, and we miss their visible presence in our lives. But because we've had just a glimpse of the kingdom of God, we have a vision of something bigger, something more real and more vital than the size of our paycheck or the condition of our lawn. And so we orient our lives around that bigger reality, not neglecting the other details in our lives, but making decisions around them that might not make sense if you don't have that bigger perspective. Tithing does not make sense without that bigger perspective. This is what we find in our readings today. Moses has been hiding out, stuck in the little world of his exile from Egypt, tending his father-in-law's sheep. But then God comes along, and God invites Moses into a bigger story, a story that was bigger than Moses ever could have imagined. And to this day, Moses is spoken of around the world with reverence. In our epistle reading today, Paul writes of the Israelites passing through the sea and living in the desert. Now, the Israelites were concerned about survival, right? They were looking for daily bread. That was all they could see. But what they were actually doing, if they had eyes to see, and some of them did, they were enacting the great story of God's redemption and establishing a legacy, a testimony to God's love that would endure for the rest of time. What is our gospel about today? Certain people come up to Jesus and they report to him terrible things that have happened. Right? They're telling him about the news. Did you hear what happened? There was a mass murder in a place of worship. Did you hear what happened? There was an engineered structure, high tech, cutting edge, and it failed catastrophically, and everyone inside died. Did you hear what happened? Now, the working assumption of these people reporting to Jesus was that, you know, the people, the victims, they must have deserved it somehow. Right? That must have been just, and that must have been God-ordained retribution for their sins. Right? God would have taken care of them if they had pleased God. They must have worshipped in the wrong way. They must have believed the wrong things. God was paying them back. And what does Jesus say? Jesus disagrees. He says, that's not it at all. Jesus has two things to say to them, and one is that terrible things happen. Welcome to life. We live in a world where God has given us freedom and agency. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we make more than mistakes, and we use that freedom and agency to spread hate and violence and war. And terrible things happen. Number two, says Jesus, if you remain stuck, if you remain fixated on that little world of human agency and freedom, that world is going to kill you too. Because that's what happens in that little world. The story of the Bible is the story of God's invitation to humankind to broaden our vision, to catch a glimpse of how much bigger the world is than our little world of personal freedom and agency. What Jesus calls for is for his hearers to repent. Repent. How's that for a churchy word? It's a good Lenten word. But repentance is not about just keeping certain details and rules and avoiding certain activities. It's not about Puritanism. Repentance is about turning aside, about changing one's mind, about getting a new perspective. It's about orienting a whole life according to what you know about the kingdom of God, rather than orienting it according to the dictates of human nature. So, for example, life in the kingdom of God understands that prayer, even silent prayer, even wordless prayer, changes the world, and it changes us. building a career for the sake of income or prestige is, in the end, less fundamentally world-changing than prayer. Life in the kingdom of God understands that giving to the poor and supporting the work of the church and using your time to serve others will make you immeasurably more wealthy than just pouring all that time and effort into enlarging the balance on your bank account. Life in the kingdom of God understands that loving your neighbor, speaking the truth, refraining from gossip, these things are infinitely more valuable than being popular or cool or notorious on social media. Life in the kingdom of God involves remembering that which is more real than what you read in the news or see on the internet. It remembers that relationships and love are eternal forces. Someday the Dow Jones, Game of Thrones, geopolitics, they'll all be forgotten, irrelevant. But what remains? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The call to repent is an urgent call, because the only moment given to each of us is right now. And this moment is enough. To repent is to change our point of view and to live right now with an eternal kingdom of God perspective. The invitation is to a new point of view. And for sure, a new point of view means that your behaviors will change to match it. But the behaviors are not the point. Individual sins and actions aren't really the concern. For all your peccadilloes, Jesus offers forgiveness, full and free. The point is to change your point of view, to see the larger reality of God's kingdom over which our society and our culture are just a distorting overlay. Often, when we say to someone that we love, there's more to life than video games, we are urging someone not to miss out on the great things in life by settling for what is simply flashy. Jesus' invitation in Luke, the church's invitation in Lent, is not to miss out on the kingdom of God by settling for what wealth or hard work or the television can bring you. The kingdom of God is freely given to you, but sometimes receiving it involves giving up things in order to open our hands to be ready to receive it. Because there's more to life than what we've seen so far. Amen.